The Paunch Stevenson Show, paunchstevenson.com, episode 321, Saturday, August 8th, 2026.
Signal cuts through the night in Jersey. Truth is hiding in a digital blur. Scanning the waves for a secret history. Let the mystery and the noise occur. Let the mystery and the noise occur. Paunch Stevenson Show. Two voices ring, breaking the silence. From the Garden State to the final frontier, the Paunch Stevenson Show.
This is.
Oh, wait, I don't know what episode it is.
Doesn't matter.
You gotta say the number.
It's timeless. This is the Paunch Stevenson Show. PaunchStevenson.com. Still a thing.
Ah!
I am Rob. You are Greg.
Yes.
And we are en route.
En route.
To a undisclosed location. Parts unknown, as they used to say.
The public, oh yeah, parts unknown, that was like the Ultimate Warrior, right?
The Ultimate Warrior from Parts Unknown.
We're on our way to a video game convention.
Yeah.
Which I have never been to. You've been to. Yeah, I've never been to. In an aviation museum.
Cradle of Aviation Museum in Garden City, New York. Long Island.
Which is, I mean, it's Long Island, it's Queens, it's that, whatever, it's New York. But we're on our way.
I don't think it's Queens. I think it's technically Nassau.
Is it, yeah, it's like, it's right outside, right outside of Queens. But I don't know, it doesn't matter.
Long Island Retro Expo. Yeah. So where are we now? We're on the Clearview, I think. No. Yeah, I don't know. Somewhere
doesn't have Clearview Expressway.
We've crossed the bridge. Yeah, so we have not gathered in a while to talk about something other than a celebrity gossip book. Mm. A weird one.
Yeah, whatever happened with that.
I don't know.
Did it make the bestseller list? Or what's going to... Fran, whatever her name, Weinstein.
Whatever her name is.
Fran, why couldn't remember? Fran Weinstein.
She was very nice.
Very nice.
So I have a movie review to start off. I don't know when this was, a month or so ago. I saw the He-Man movie.
He-Man!
By the power of Grayskull!
He-Man!
He-Man, you fool! Beastman!
So, I saw the He-Man movie. Did you see it yet? No.
No!
It's on Amazon. Don't you have that?
Ridiculous. Come on, this thing, it could not have been good. It couldn't have been good.
So, I thought it was okay. The issue I had with it was... He didn't become He-Man until, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie. And then it was, like, really good. I was like, oh, look, it's He-Man. This is good. But it wasn't, you know, like, the whole... It was, like, an origin story the rest of the way. So it just took so long to get to be He-Man.
So it was really Prince Adam.
Well, he was, I guess he was a prince. He was in Eternia, and then they got attacked by the Skeletor army, and so they had to hide him. So they hid him away in another universe, parallel universe, which was Earth.
I mean, isn't this literally called Superman?
Somewhat. Okay. So they hide him away, but they don't like really go over his childhood. He just, you know, it just starts up that, hey, he's like this like 20-something nitwit who like can't hold a job down, and he remembers who he was because he was, you know, like 5 or 6 years old, and he knows that the sword, he was given this magical sword, but then he lost it. So he spends all of his time looking for the sword, and there's like goofy kind of, you know, office-like comedy. And then,
Wait a minute. He-Man's working in an office?
You can only laugh like Skeletor in this
segment. He-Man is working in an office.
Yes.
That's what this movie is.
Yes.
Office job.
Well, he couldn't hold down a job. He kept getting fired.
This is so stupid. This is worse than the 1980s one. The movie.
Dolph Lundgren was in the movie for about 5 seconds. So,
all right, keep going. This is getting worse. Wait, was this a comedy?
Yeah, kind of.
Was it like a spoof? Was it like a Seth Rogen He-Man?
No, then Teela shows up looking for him
in the office, like a cubicle.
Actually, the skeleton, like Beast Man, and somebody else, Trapjaw, they were looking for him.
They had to make photocopies at the printer.
So,
Oh, my God. All right, keep going.
The Beast Man shows up, and then they try and get him, and then, like, they're destroying the town and the city, and then they go back to Eternia.
How?
Through some portal.
Oh.
And then they get captured. But he's like an imbecile. You know, he's stupid. He's not very strong, you know, he can't do anything. And so all of the, whoever remains of the prince, the king, who was the king in that?
Randor.
Whoever remains of his army are like, they're all in a jail cell. And so there's like some goofiness there with like the names of the people, like, you're Ram Man? Like, but it's like, so what happened was like, they had regular names, and then like the He-Man, when he was a kid, like invented all these names for them, like Ram Man and this and that.
Okay. Fisto.
Yeah, right, Fisto.
Buzz Off.
Manny
Faces, remember that?
There was not a Manny Faces, believe it or not. But anyway.
Stinkor. A skunk character. All right, but go ahead.
And all this time, Man at Arms, who's played by Idris Elba, is now a drunk.
Really?
Bumbling drunk.
Idris Elba was in this?
Bumbling drunk. Oh, and,
was Nicolas Cage? This seems like a Nicolas Cage.
Hey, man.
Was he in this?
No, I'm not in this.
He-Man.
He could have been Skeletor.
Then I would have seen it.
So Jared Leto, who now has been, you know,
he's in this?
He's Skeletor.
No.
I mean, anybody could have been Skeletor. He had the, you know, the mask on, and he talks like, hello, I'm Skeletor.
No.
But he kind of like did, like, he would do these stupid jokes, like Evelyn and all would like look around like, what the hell is he? That's a terrible joke. And then, you know, they'd be like, ah, ha, 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 you know, to laugh at him. But anyway, so.
You're not selling me on this.
Listen, so then he has to eventually, you know, then he finds, what's the Cringer, who stunk. I thought that was Cringer was stupid. Like, if anything, you could have had Alan Oppenheimer at least. Well, he didn't do Cringer, but.
He did, actually.
No, I thought it was John Irwin did it.
No.
Cringer?
Yeah.
I thought John Irwin did Cringer.
Oh. No. All
right. Well, they could have had Alan Oppenheimer do Cringer, at least. It was CGI. But, Yeah, they, so then, you know, right at the end there, he gets the powers, and they fight a rebellion, defeat Skeletor.
Well, how did he find the sword?
Well, they he found it in some, like, collector shop in Earth, and he stole it.
What?
It's just crazy.
Wow.
So, okay, so, after all that, no mention of Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, there was a castle was in it.
And the sorceress.
Yes, sorceress was in it, yes.
Did she turn into a bird?
Yeah, a couple times.
Right, fine.
She didn't have much of a role. Marina Baccarin.
Did she look like the cartoon?
Yeah, she had the same kind of... They all had, like, the same costumes.
Good. All right, so something like Beast Man, though, was it a guy in a suit or was it CGI?
I couldn't tell. It was probably CGI. You know how they normally do it now.
So thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, thumbs down.
I didn't think it was like atrocious, you know, and then obviously didn't do very well at the box office.
This thing was in theaters?
Yeah, briefly, and then went to Amazon Prime. But, you know, and at the end of the movie, they teased She-Ra.
No!
His sister.
There's no way.
Why?
There's no way. How? It bombed.
I don't know. They might make more. Amazon has a lot of money. They can just piss away.
All right. Was it better than the 80s live action movie?
Well,
it, come on. No, that's such a low bar.
But there's nothing. You don't understand. You're asking someone. I don't believe anything is better than even a lot of those crappy 80s movies. I don't believe anything now
the
is better than those.
Stunk.
Yeah, but there was some cool things about it.
What?
Yeah. Oh, and then at the end of the movie, there's like, you know how there's now, there's always something after the credits?
Yes.
There was like five different clips after Orko was in one of them.
Oh, wait, was Orko in the movie?
No, just in that.
Oh, my, he got shafted again.
He did the PSA, at night after it was over.
Was it CGI?
What do you think?
Orko.
Your gas cap is open.
Did Alan Oppenheimer do Orko too? No, I think it was Lou Scheimer.
That was, yeah, Lou Scheimer.
He's dead. Oh, he's been dead a while. Or what was his, he had a name that he used
for
voiceovers.
Yeah,
it was like James Woodling or something. You know,
I don't remember.
Totally different name.
Well, because he did so many voices, he, and you're not allowed, so yeah. For union purposes, he had to, like, come up with pseudonyms. And all of his voices sounded the same.
Of course.
It was like, I am King Brandor. Prince Adam, what are you up to today? I am,
what's one of the bad guys' names?
Merman.
I am Merman.
It's like you're doing the same.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, the I'll be honest, I mean, it's weird because that was, well, Filmation did everything on the cheap, but that was the era, that was the first era where animated shows began to have these, like, giant ensemble casts, you know, but it was like all of them did it, and yes, a lot of the same voice actors worked on every single show, but, like, the Disney show, like Winnie the Pooh and Smurfs, Transformers, G.I. Joe. I mean, it was like
robots.
Tons. It was like they'd have like routinely like 15 people doing the voices.
Yeah.
Well,
because also that was a time when the shows started getting like 30 characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You went from a Scooby-Doo that had four characters to now every month the toy companies were introducing new characters.
Yeah.
So they had to.
So speaking of Scooby-Doo, I have been, it's been going on for like months and months. I've been doing this like very methodical, when I get to it, rewatch of the real Ghostbusters.
Speaking of Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
So.
As opposed to.
Scrappy-Doo.
The fake.
Fake.
Ghostbuster.
Oh, right. The Lord Larry Storch. Well, he was in the, and of the, Larry Storch was in the live action Ghostbusters.
The original.
The original. And then Aykroyd stole the name.
Right.
Put it in the movie. They stole a lot of stuff in that movie.
They had to pay.
Stole the theme song.
They had to pay Lou Scheimer.
Yeah. Filmation.
who came out with their own Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Which I prefer.
The cartoon?
Yes.
With the ape? No.
That is a, it's a good, it's
first
funny.
Of all, and the, first of all, they didn't, and you know, they didn't bring any of the original actors into that, including Larry Storch.
I know, because it was their sons. It was the next generation.
Oh, please. That's just, he's
and
terrible.
He was terrible. Alan Oppenheimer, Primeval.
Of course. The Ghosters, Bunglers, are gonna get the... Bill Cosby. Yeah, so they did that, and then the real Ghostbusters, because on a side project, you know, I had met, I went to, where the hell, when I was in Pittsburgh for Steel City Con, they had, I've met these people already, but I found an old fan club magazine. I had the second Dr. Venkman, Dave Coulier.
Oh, yeah.
Cut it out. I had him sign it. Yeah, obviously, I can't get Lorenzo Music. He's been dead for 25 years. And also Maurice LaMarche, who, oh, they just shut the gas cap.
They had to pull over for that.
But how else are you doing it?
Well, I mean, it wasn't hurting anything. But anyway, it's a Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Maurice LaMarche, who was Egon for the entire run. And then I sent it to someone at a different convention, because I wasn't there, to have the immortal Frank Welker sign it, who, of course, was Frank, Ray Stantz and Slimer. And
doing his Fred Jones voice.
Well, I'll get to that. So, well, that was the Welker voice.
He wasn't doing Megatron. I'll rip out your optics.
Well, that was Claw, right? From
No, Megatron.
Well, Claw.
Well, yeah, also, yes, he was also...
Did that first.
I'll get you, Gadget.
Anyway.
Next time.
So then I went, SiriusXM did this thing in the city, or the meeting, it wound up being a meeting, it was very nice, with Arsenio Hall. And Arsenio Hall was the original Winston Zeddemore in the show. He was replaced by Buster Jones, who's dead. So anyway, so I have the four of them on there. The only four I could get. Yeah, rest of them are dead. So I've been doing a rewatch. And, you know, like, first season, really good. Second season, which was, like, the long one, very good. And then, oh, boy. You know, so they... and again, as a kid, you don't realize this. You don't realize, like, oh, they changed the voice actors. They did this. You know, you just don't even, like, get it when you're, like, 8, 9, 10 years old. But, oh, my God. Well, they replaced... infamously, they replaced... Lorenzo Music, who was Garfield. They replaced him with Dave Coulier because they wanted him to sound more like Bill Murray.
Okay. Why? All of a sudden, three seasons in.
So, they did that, and then they replaced, after the third season, they replaced Arsenio Hall with Buster Jones. And they also replaced, after 2 years, they replaced the woman who did Janine. And she went from being this, like, hey, it's me, Janine, you know, kind of like the movie, yeah, to being like, hey, hello, guys, it's me, Janine. Like, what is that? That's not Janine Melnitz.
I don't know.
And I'm just, like, discovering this now. Like, why wasn't I upset about this as a kid? Stupid.
I mean, they could have gotten Ernie Hudson.
Like, well, he did. He tried to audition. They didn't want, I guess they didn't want to pay him. I don't know. But that wouldn't have made a difference for him.
I'm just saying,
he
was available, right?
Right. So the reason I say Scooby-Doo is, so as the series, when I knew this, as the series went on, when they got to season 4, it became Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters. And then they had that, like, mini show that was Slimer that was, like, for little kids. It just became the Slimer show.
Yes.
And I'm now realizing how stupid it was. It became Scooby-Doo. He basically became Scooby-Doo, like, with the hijinks and the dumb jokes, and now he can talk.
And the eating.
Well, it was always the eating, but, like, he can talk.
Right.
The first, you know, 2 or 3 seasons of Slimer, he didn't talk. He was a ghost.
Just and made
he was
noises.
And he was non-corporeal.
Yeah.
Now he's fully corporeal.
It's like walking around like a...
Well, and then in one episode, they're camping. He's like a kid. He's like, man, I gotta find somewhere to do-do. And they're like, like, what?
Yes, the pool.
Yes!
What? Why?
I swear to God. Slimer had to go take a crap.
What? Who's writing this? Who is approving this?
It's bad. So... Slimer's trying to find somewhere to like take a leak or whatever, and then the Sasquatch gets him or something. It's just so bad.
What is wrong with these people?
Oh my God, just so bad.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was I just started the fourth season, as they've shifted it to this like nonsense.
I remember though what. For it was the real Ghostbusters, then Slimer and the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Then wasn't there some kind of like it was called Extreme Ghostbusters?
Oh, that was in the late 90s.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was like 97 or something like that. Extreme Ghostbusters.
Wow. It was still around by then?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Aykroyd had been pushing a like new generation Ghostbusters kids for years. He kept pushing it and just never got anywhere.
Let it go, Aykroyd. Come up with another idea. Come on.
I mean, they've made, you know, these sequel movies, which I've enjoyed. And they made the game.
Yeah, that's right. The game
basically was Ghostbusters 3.
The game was well received.
Harold Ramis at that point.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah. Dan Aykroyd, in fact, has another book coming out. He's going to be doing a book signing in October. I'm not going.
Is it called Gotta Get a Shooter?
Gotta get a shooter.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was... anyway, the real Ghostbusters. So I'm only season four. So I just imagine it's gonna get worse as you get through to season seven, which I did not watch as a kid. I don't think. I think I probably
season
gave up
seven.
Somewhere around this point. Well, the funny part was when they did the remember the cartoon All Stars to the Rescue.
Yes.
So when they did that, I think the real Ghostbusters had already been canceled. For like a year or two. So it's weird that they were in that. But I don't know. Maybe they made that a couple of years before. I don't know.
Well, you know how... you know how I say that... like all this AI yeah. nonsense, this AI hysteria.
Yeah.
People...
it's being used for good, though.
What do they call...
Yes! It's me! Stan the Man!
Yeah,
you're bringing me back from the dead!
AI Man!
Me, Stanley! Can you imagine that? Stan Lee is going to be brought back as an AI character, but I'm like, all he did in any one of these stupid Marvel movies, he would show up for 5 seconds and make a dumb joke.
Well, there you go.
That's not very hard.
Well, anyway, all this...
Wait a minute. They need to bring back AI Stan Lee... And do another season of
Who Wants to Be a Superhero? Yeah. Web Slingers.
Yeah. That's what they need to do. That would be great.
By the way, you know Key and Peele ripped us off.
Really? Ripped us off?
In one of their skits. You know, they had that sketch comedy show, yeah. Remember?
That was a while ago, though.
And one of their skits was our Stan Lee bit.
Which one?
Where there's some kind of boardroom or meeting room, and the people are around the table, like, we got to come up with a new character or something. And then the manager's like, I brought in the big guns, an industry veteran, and Stan Lee, the Peele guys playing Stan Lee.
Yeah, well, they played everybody, yeah.
And he's like, I have some ideas for you. And he's like, how about Dirt Man? He grows dirt at the evil. And I'm like, what? This is the Porn Stevenson show. This is us. And all the people are looking like, I don't think that's, oh, okay, okay. How about Belt Man?
Yeah.
He wears belts all around and
like, Shine Man!
And he's just looking around the room getting, like, Chair Man!
Tree Man!
Anyway, they ripped us off. But, so all this, AI psychosis and companies spending billions of dollars on AI tokens, trying to save money. Oh, we laid off half our staff that were costing us $500 million in salary, and now we're paying $500 billion in AI tokens because we're morons! Anyway, and I keep saying, because I work in this stuff, this is what I do for a living, and I'm like, this stuff is garbage! AI is a toy! These LLMs, it's a toy! It's a toy! So anyway, I was, I said, you know what? Let me talk to the LLM. Let me talk to the AI. And let me ask it. I didn't say who I was. I didn't say my involvement. I said, let me ask it about different podcasts. See what it says about the podcast. Because I didn't want to bias it or have it give me some kind of sycophantic answer like it usually does.
Right. Because, so, you know, and like, if you Google something now, you get the AI answer, and there's, like, you can't look at anything else.
Right. I know.
So you just have to take its word for it.
I know. It's garbage. So, so I got around after a few different podcasts, then I said, tell me about the Paunch Stevenson Show. The Paunch Stevenson Show about, or who started it, or, like, just... Is it good? Like, tell me about it, right? Tell me about the Paunch Stevenson Show. So this is what it told me.
Yeah.
Okay? Can't see the screen. Okay. Greg and Rob can be credited with mastering the art of anti-growth. They successfully protected their show from ever getting too popular.
Wow, they really said that?
Yes.
I let me tell you, this AI is onto something. This may be better, than I thought.
But in other words, nobody cares about your show.
Oh, come on.
Greg and Rob can be credited with mastering the art of anti-growth. They successfully protected their show from getting popular. The AI also said that we should release episodes of the Paunch Stevenson Show on vinyl records.
What?
And sell them to collectors.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, we kind of did that with Esteban, right? Where he was burning it to CD.
The vinyl record. I got Paunch on vinyl.
There you go.
And then it says, at the next, like, whatever, celebrity convention or retro, like, including the convention we're on our way to, it said, we should rent a table at the next convention.
Oh, no.
And charge people money to, because, like, you know how the fans wait in line and then you get up to the table. Well, it's $50 for a photo with us. Yeah. It's $60 for an autograph, $80 for a combo, whatever. They said we should rent a table at these conventions and charge people to sign pictures of celebrities.
Ah.
But sign it with our name, like the fake Dr. Phil or the fake William
Shatner.
This
is actually pretty good.
The fake Michael Jackson.
Why does it sound like you wrote this and not AI?
No, the AI. It was Gemini. The Google Gemini wrote this.
Oh, boy. So is that it? That's basically its get-rich-quick scheme.
There you go.
Anti-growth. I think that's great.
So we have to start selling episodes on... releasing episodes on vinyl records. And going to conventions, signing photos of celebrities.
Yeah.
That was the wisdom of AI. The rainforest got destroyed for those answers right there.
I don't know about that, but yeah. Yeah, interesting. Now, speaking of conventions, as we're almost at this one, did you see that the Mr. Chiller died?
What?
Yeah, the guy that... Kevin, the guy that created Chiller Theater.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the other guy, Zachary. Oh,
he's been dead for 10 years.
Oh.
The cool ghoul.
Yeah.
Chiller, but the Chiller's not going anywhere. They're still going to have the same lame guests.
Who's taking over? His son? Yeah, Chiller Jr.?
Nah, it's basically the other people that ran it anyway.
Scott Schwartz?
No, or... not Scott Schwartz. You wouldn't know who they were. Other people.
He used to work at these things.
No, well, Scott brings in celebrities. He doesn't really do the convention, you know?
Mr. Chiller. You said they're bringing it back home.
Well, not exactly. I mean, back home would be like somewhere in Rutherford. But, when we first started going, I didn't realize this at the time, but the hotel in Parsippany there, the one that looks like a castle.
The Sheraton.
Yeah. That was actually, that may have been the first time they did it there. They had moved from the Hilton on the other side of the town, and then they did the Sheraton. They were there for about 5 years and then moved back to the Hilton, and now they're going back to the Sheraton. So it's back to the old, where they had that living room with the major celebrities and the other room that was 150 degrees in there. And
then all the random corridors and hallways.
Yeah. And the kind of restaurant and bar that was kind of in the middle of it. And
all right. So it'll feel familiar. We'll actually be able to navigate successfully.
Who would they have to get to bring you in?
I don't know. Name some people.
I don't know. Who would you want to see?
People who it would never happen.
Never know.
Ringo Starr.
No, you can't say somebody like that.
Paul McCartney, love. That's right. I talk like this now, love.
Yes, I keep making money. I keep making music. It's just...
That was the other thing.
What the heck is it? Naked guy walking down the street.
Fast walking. The other thing I was going to bring up was... So Paul McCartney, what was the deal with him and Bob Dylan?
He was... I sent you this video. This video is Paul... Someone asked him about Bob Dylan or so, or I forget what the topic was, but somehow he got on the topic of seeing people in concerts.
I still go to shows, love. You know, I see... a few years ago, I saw Dylan, you know, and he came out, and he was singing like, I couldn't understand a word he said. I couldn't understand, love.
Didn't make a sense to me, love.
That's what it was.
He was doing the Paunch Stevenson show. We did that first.
He basically said McCartney. I mean, it's not hard to rip us off about Bob Dylan. I mean, that's what he sounds like.
The whole stereotype or the whole cliche for decades that everyone regurgitated. Bob Dylan, he's done like this. But we started the modern Bob Dylan, who sounds like... and McCartney was like... here's the thing. He was mocking his voice.
Yeah.
And he was like...
And he's doing these bluegrass versions,
that was Mr. Tambor. Now I've lost the McCartney voice because I got into the Dylan Cookie Monster voice, but you do. He was like, it was Mr. Yes. Tambourine Man, but it was, I couldn't understand.
I don't know, it was supposed to be Mr. Tambourine Man. It sounded like Mr.
It was like some country song.
Right.
All right, we're here. We made it. Right. We've arrived, and to prove it, we're here.
we're back. We've exited the Long Island Retro Gaming Expo, and we are now on one of the Triborough bridges here, back to New Jersey. Whoop-a-dee-doo-dah. So I don't know. I've been here before, so I didn't really like want to trounce around. We went around a little bit, looked at the old console setups that they had there. Mainly there to meet the old Atari programmers they had from Audacity Games, the new company, of course. Dan and Gary Kitchen, the great David Crane, and John Van Ryzen showed up as well. And we spoke to them. They actually did a panel, which we sat through. Actually, I recorded it, so hopefully it came out decently. We'll have to put it on the YouTube. And also Walter Day was there.
From the King of Kong movie.
Yeah, Chasing Ghosts.
The referee shirt guy.
Twin Galaxies scorekeeper board, whatever guy.
Also, Walter Day, also musician.
Well, I mean.
And what was he telling? Like some sort of transcendental...
Transcendental meditation. That's guy, what took him to Iowa.
Some guru.
Transcendental meditation. I was into transcendental meditation. And it took me to Fairfield, Iowa. That was the site of the transcendental meditation movement.
I guess in the 70s.
Of all places.
Right.
The middle of nowhere.
So then, he opened the arcade in Ottumwa, Iowa. The Twin Galaxies Arcade. Began accepting scores.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Although he did say now he has a follow-up movie.
Yeah, it's...
What is it about? I have no idea. What? But what could it possibly be about? The movie was... It's done already. The score, the Donkey Kong high score. What? How could you make a sequel?
I think it's mostly about his, like, busking.
I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I'll look it up and we'll see.
Yeah, sure.
He was very nice, though. Very nice. Talked to us. Friendly.
Yeah.
Everybody was very friendly. Accommodating and nice and welcoming.
Yeah.
And I saw... Corey and Triforce from the YouTube video gaming channel My Life in Gaming. They do a lot of, they focus a lot on old game consoles doing RGB mods and best video output method that you can do on the old console. They're very obsessed with that. I was gonna stop and say hi, stop by their, they had a table there and whatever, but they, people kept coming up and pestering them, so I just left them alone.
That's what you were going to do.
Exactly. But I didn't get a chance to, so.
You could have.
Nah, it was fine. I didn't want to. They were talking to people I didn't want to interrupt.
So you finally got to discuss your long-sought questions with David Crane, the progenitor of the platform video game, at least according to him. Pitfall and... Many other Atari games or Activision.
Yeah, it was. So, when you told me about this convention and that the Audacity Games people would be there, in preparation, I went on YouTube and watched every single video, either of them as a group or individually speaking. At various conventions over the last 15 years. I watched literally every single
video. That is absolutely insane.
Not only David Crane and Gary Kitchen and Dan Kitchen, but also then I got sidetracked with Todd Fry and Howard Scott Warshaw and whatever. And Todd Fry...
is a maniac.
For as much of a nut as he was supposedly back in the actual Atari days... because he worked at Atari. Watching him at these seminars, these talks.
Yeah.
Now he's very
He's very zen. He's very... And I'm going to talk about Pac-Man. And the thing about Pac-Man on the Atari 2600 was... I didn't know the core of what made Pac-Man Pac-Man. I thought the core was you had a round yellow character going through a maze. I thought that was the core. But I was wrong. And the core of what made Pac-Man Pac-Man was a black background and a light blue maze. And the tunnel was not at the top and the bottom, but it was on the sides. I thought as long as there was a tunnel, then you were getting the essence of Pac-Man. But I did not. I failed to capture the essence of Pac-Man. And he's like, all of this, what's the word? Like, all of this, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know, esoteric.
Yeah, the esoteric, like just this pondering about, like just very heady. I don't know. He's in these videos that I've watched of him speaking to the audience. He's very peaceful and laid back and open minded and like.
I think he was like that even. He's been like that for many, many, many years. He was just like strung out nutcase while he was at Atari.
Okay. But no, but these talks are very interesting. And he goes back, not to the extent of the people at Audacity Games, but he'll go back and tinker and like, oh, I searched online and I found...
Emergency vehicle reported ahead.
Because one of the complaints about the 2600 version of his Pac-Man that he made back in the day was the flickering ghost. And yeah. I never minded it, but people seemed to complain about it. So he's like, yeah, I go online and I search. Someone, some hobbyist made a Flickr management utility that I can insert into my code in assembly language, and it'll manage the flickering and you can control the priority. But so he is still, like, he stays up on this. These people stay up on this assembly language.
He was doing a convention, this was a while ago, and I guess someone at the convention had set up, you know, a 2600, and they had one of the more modern, you know, homebrew Pac-Man, you know, ports of the arcade. And he was looking at it and was weeping on this video because he was like, I can't believe this. How did they do this? And I'm like, dude, it's been like 30 years. They figured it out.
And then Howard Scott Warshaw, who made E.T., the extraterrestrial.
Yeah, Yar's Revenge.
Yar's Revenge, Indiana Jones. It was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
On the 2600. And so, again, at these talks, and someone asked him, how did you get to be the unlucky one tasked with creating this E.T. game in 5 weeks? And he said, oh, I wasn't the unlucky one. I raised my hand and said, I'll do it. It was hubris. It was like the hubris of, like he said, it was just an ego thing. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm good enough. I'll do it. Not a bad game. Not a horrible game.
What does this have to do with the convention?
Nothing. Well, no, it's not true. It's retro games. So, all right. So the convention, we talked to, David Crane, legendary guy, Gary Kitchen.
Yeah.
One of the things that I asked Gary Kitchen, because on the 2600 and then later on the Nintendo Entertainment System, the Super Nintendo, the Sega Genesis, they made a lot of military themed games.
Right.
So I asked him, I said, where did that come from? Like, were you in the military or your family background? Or it's like, nah, we just like history. We just like it. Like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. It was good. It was nice to be able to meet them in person. And
I had met Gary. I've met, well, I mean, Dan Kitchen, we've seen a million times.
Very nice. Very yeah. nice guy.
Gary, I had met a couple of times around, you know, New Jersey, and when he came in, and then I'd never met David Crane, and I was supposed to come last year here on the Friday, and our friend Leon went earlier and was like, they're not here, so I don't know what the deal was. They only came in on the Saturday and then the Sunday, so. Like, oh, well, I had something else to do during the weekend. So I came back to that. Well, that was actually, that was, I didn't even go. So that was coming back this year. So, yeah, they had, I mean, they had, it's, you know, they really do it nice there where they actually have, like, banners now behind each of the stations for all of the old consoles. And
right, it's like a timeline.
Yeah, it's like a timeline.
It's walking through the timeline of the progression.
Yeah, I mean, if you walk around there, and again, it's a Cradle of Aviation Museum, so the museum is full of these, like, you know, large fighter planes and pieces of planes and space capsules and all this stuff all over the place. So, you know, it's a tight squeeze, but they have the stuff, so it's a bit of a maze to find everything, but I mean, it's unbelievable how many consoles that they have there. They have almost everything set up.
Including, again, it's the progression from the beginning, so the American stuff, then you get into the Japanese stuff that never made it here. Like, yeah. Like we were seeing NEC computer, like the PC-88, the FM Towns... Yeah. Even some European stuff, the Amstrad, different stuff that they came out with and stuff. It was, you know what it was? It was things that I had only ever seen online in videos and then, getting to see it in real life. It's like, huh. That's smaller than I thought it would be, or that's a little, it's always different seeing it actually in person in three dimensions.
Yeah.
And a lot of, on the older stuff, especially, this was before things became more standardized. So in those early days, those older consoles, seeing some of those controllers were like, what were you doing? Well, how did you come up with this for your controllers? Terrible.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know better. Also, you know, there was a law. Wasn't there a lawsuit when Nintendo came out with the D-pad and then they did it for other stuff and they were like, you can't do it that way? So it was something like that. They patented it.
Well, the D-pad. Nintendo. Yeah, the D-pad. But no, it was very interesting. It was very interesting getting to go from station to station. And again, even like I said about seeing things in real life is a little surreal because it's different than seeing it on the computer screen. Getting to meet and talk to the people in real life. Again, having seen 50 videos of these people at these talks in the past, but getting to meet them in real life and in 3D, and it's just different. It was nice to be able to get to do that. And the whole why are we doing this? Because you and I grew up playing these people's games along with millions of other people. I mean, these people helped shape us, right? Shape our pop culture and the toys we grew up with and our perception of fun and like what is fun, what is a game, what can a TV be used for? How do you interact with the characters? And like
there's just so many, and then you know, there's not a lot of these, you know, 1980s video game designers that you can actually meet anymore.
That's right.
You know, I mean, a lot of them are... I've watched videos of interviews with some of the Japanese ones. They're still alive. And, you know, you're never going to see any of those. They don't leave Japan or whatever. And a lot of them don't even like giving interviews. It's not really a thing there. So, there's that.
It was interesting. All right, what else?
All right, back to the paunch stuff. So, did I send you the Michael Caine video or the Lance Guest? I think I did.
Yes.
So, we have a talk about. So, somebody was doing an interview or something or other with Lance Guest, who, you know, from The Last Starfighter. But, you know, he did Jaws 4, The Revenge. So, he talked about how Michael Caine saved his life.
Yes. Michael Caine.
So, Lance Guest said that I guess they were filming something or other, and there were actual sharks. Is that what it was?
And he was in the... Yeah, Michael Caine had to come and... well, you tell the story.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened, though.
Well, he saved him from getting eaten.
I think all Michael Caine did was like... I think all he did was like, there's a bloody shark over there! That was it. That's all he did.
Well, that saved him.
I don't think he like dove into the water to get him.
I think he did.
That's a bloody shock.
All right, what else? Michael Caine.
What? That's it? Nothing else I could say?
What else? Didn't we meet Lance Guest in real life?
I met him at Chiller. I don't know. Were you at that one? Yeah.
I was there.
He had a big beard.
I took the photo.
Nice guy. I didn't know about it. I should have done my Michael Caine for him.
Michael Caine.
That's a bloody shock. Jaws 4. Oh, my God.
You know, I think that if you go online, right, anyone who goes online and looks up a picture of a celebrity, there's like a 90% chance I took the photo. You ever notice that?
Yes, because...
On Wikipedia?
The Wikimedia bums stole all of the pictures. They stole all of mine.
Well, because I put them up as Creative Commons.
Yeah, well, so. I did it too. I didn't realize what that meant. And so they stole them all. I was like, you don't have permission to use these. And like, well, it's too late.
I don't mind. What was I going to do with these...
No, what I didn't like, because what I didn't like was they would put them up there and they would have my picture. That was me.
No, they crop us out.
They didn't do that originally, though.
You're on everybody's wiki.
It was absurd. And so I made this big stink. I had to, first of all, to post anything for this Wikimedia garbage, it was like impossible. Like this forum that they had was like, it was so heinous. And I posted on there, was like, can you, like, crop me out of it? What do I have to do with, you know, Tracy Gold or something, you know?
Or Jay North.
Idiots.
Jay North. All these people, yeah. It's like, why am I on Michael Caine's Wikipedia page?
So the Jay North is funny. We were at that Chiller.
Yeah.
Jay North died last year, I think. Dennis the Menace.
Within the recent past.
It was last year. And, whatchamacallit. So we were, you know, we were talking about this, a Sheridan. And I think we were done for the day and we were leaving. And I was like, so what happened was he was in this room that they had that was off of that living room. It was like the Skyland suite. And it was the room that was like very, very tight. There was nowhere to walk, and it was always 1,000 degrees in there. It never had air conditioning. And there were good names in those rooms, but a lot of times we wouldn't hang around in them because we're like, it's just too humid in here.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to move. So what happened with Jay North was we went in there earlier and he wasn't there at that moment. And he was at a table with Jeannie Russell, who was the one that played the girl, the friend in Dennis the Menace.
Margaret?
I guess. Okay. Yeah, I know.
With glasses?
Yes. Yeah. So, we were there, and like, it was a thing where he wasn't, I don't know where he was. He wasn't at the table right at that moment. And the way we were chiller back then was, we would wait around for like about a minute. And if the person was there, we'd move on. We'll come back. And lots of times we would come back. Remember this happened to Cole Eggert? We went back to the table about four. Even worse was the one from Bad News Bears. What the hell's her name? She won the Oscar.
Not going to remember. For Bad News Bears?
No, not for that movie. Why can't I? Tatum O'Neill. Tatum O'Neill was never at the table. I remember walking. We must have gone past that table about seven times this one night. Mm-hmm. She was never there. So I didn't get her there. So Jay North wasn't there. We're leaving. And I mean, we did an episode on this, but I don't remember if I spoke about it at the time. Because I was re-listening to that episode. And the things that we were talking about in 2013... It was actually very funny in the number of things that and how things actually happened. But, you know, hindsight, 2020. So anyway, we're walking back through the mess. And I was like, I basically was like, I'm going to check the room one more time, see if he's there. And you went outside. I said, just meet me at the car. Because we would park, like, you'd have to park across the street. I don't know. You had something where you kept taking pictures of the stupid hotel. So I went in there and he was there. She wasn't there or something. I don't know. He was there and I was like, you know, I just wanted to get a picture. The problem was when I looked at the table of what they had to sign, right? I was very weird about this stuff. All the photos he had was like him and her in them. I'm like, I don't want her. I didn't even like her character on the show. Dennis the Menace. I wanted, like, you don't have a picture with him and Mr. Wilson? They had, like, nothing. So I didn't get an autograph. And so while I was, like, babbling with him for, like, 30 seconds, I think I was just like, you know what? Because I was, like, complaining to him about the pictures at the table. I was like, do you think I just maybe just take a picture with you? He's like, yeah, let's do it. Go ahead. I don't know where his handler was. I think the handler was actually the other actress.
Okay.
So I just handed my phone, which at the time was one of those, it was that HTC Verizon 4G blah, blah, blah job. It was not a very good camera. And they took the picture. And so the picture came out, you know, like, it was fine. It was just like very dark or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think I had ever I probably forgot to give it to you when you put everything on. Flickr from your camera. Anyway, so then when he croaked, I could totally missed it. And then I realized somebody posted, oh, it's his 75th birthday the other day. I said, oh, or would have been. I said, all right, let me run the picture through AI, Gemini, clean it up a little bit. That's what I did.
Put it on a vinyl record.
No, not put it on a vinyl record. Oh, so recently, I guess a month ago, was the 4th of July.
Okay.
It was right. The 250th 4th of July.
Sure.
Whatever. But I decided this summer, I'm going to do some stuff that I did like when I was a kid. Little things.
Such as?
So, one of the things I did was I walked all the way up to the Katie's Cupboard convenience store, which is still there.
Yes.
And they still sell the same damn candy. So, I bought some Now and Laters. No?
Too chewy. I don't like
it. The Starburst is better.
It's stuck.
I understand. But when you're 9 years old, that's what you wanted.
Sometimes.
They had the push pops. I didn't get those. That's a collision alarm.
Being invaded.
So that was fun.
Special message from the CIA.
I did stuff like that. I thought you would have more interest in the Now and Laters.
I do. Now and now.
What candies do you like?
Chocolate.
Not then.
Anything almond joy, bad. M&Ms. No.
Yeah, those are good, but in Reese's. The summer, they're all melted.
No.
Man. No.
Or ice cream. Yeah. ice pops.
Well, we had the old lemon ice. We called it the lemon ice truck.
Yes.
Little Jimmies would drive around. Is that what it sounded like?
Or was that Mr. Soft?
Nah, I think it was Mr. Softy. I'm trying to think. Little Jimmy's was like, what is the jingle?
I'm not going to remember.
I don't even think it had one. I think she just would like hit the horn.
Anyway.
No, I think there was a jingle, but now I can't remember what it was.
Candy, yeah, candy. I was a chocolate person.
Yeah. Also, I went to...
Just stay in your lane. What are you... What are people weaving in and out? Like,
everyone
there's going to be some magical...
Everyone is doing 9 miles per
hour. Right, just stay.
Fool. So they had the Garden State Comic Fest, which they often have. And I finally... Lance and I did this. Finally said, you know what? Never got Kevin Eastman... His line is always like hours and hours long. I'm just going to do it this time. And so, I mean, they gave you a little card. So we came back like, I went back to the con. I went home, went back about 4 hours later. still had to wait for 2 hours.
Where was this?
By the Turtleback Zoo.
Oh, okay.
To finally get to meet Kevin Eastman. Ridiculous.
Was it worth it?
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's very personable, tells jokes, blah, blah, blah. It just took forever.
So he was one of the inventors of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
With Peter Laird.
Right?
Yeah, with Peter Laird.
So 45 years later, what else has he created? Other things or done anything
45
else?
Years.
40 years.
I mean, he's done other things. I don't know if they're any better.
I'm saying, like, what else would we know him for? Anything?
I don't. Well, I'm not into comics.
Me neither.
So, obvious. That's the point. So one of the things that we saw there in the convention there, I pointed out, was the Game Tank, which is this, like, 3D printed, like, fully homebrew 8-bit game system that somebody came out with. I mean, it stinks. Don't get me wrong.
A new game console.
Yeah.
But it's 8-bit. It's not like a Raspberry Pi modern graphics 3D. It's 8-bit. Old school.
Yeah, it's just terrible. But so the reason I bring it up was there's a YouTube channel that I watch. The guy sounds like he's from somewhere in the Northeast, but the channel is called Throaty Mumbo.
Okay.
This guy is really funny though, because it's like, I'm not quite sure what his technical aptitude is or isn't.
Yeah.
I feel like he may embellish some of his screw-ups in a way. But anyway, so this guy one time he was like, I'm going to have AI write a game for me. And he went through this, like, all the hysterics with it, and he was very funny about it. You know, of course, the game was slop. But in a recent video, he was like, I'm going to make my own 8-bit game console completely from scratch. You know, and he used a Raspberry Pi and like a modern, you know, CPU. But it was pretty impressive. Like, he literally did it himself, 3D printed, you know, soldered it himself, you know, all kind of stuff. All while he's like goofing off and things like that, which was very funny. And... So, yeah, that reminded me of that.
But how do you make an 8-bit old-school game console with modern hardware? Then it's not an 8-bit.
Well, that's what he said. That's why he's like, the step two, when I get a chance to do it, would be to completely take away all the modern, you know, capabilities, if you will. But, like, those guys were saying, and sometimes that's it. But, like, those guys were saying, the Audacity guy, the Activision guys, you can't get. So what David Crane said basically was, he's like, oh, you know, or Gary said, well, yeah, we were going to make games just like they used to be, 4 kilobyte, and I'm like, that is not a good idea.
8K.
So they wound up doing 128,
because that's the smallest they can buy. Nobody makes it any smaller than that. Oh, what is this doing?
Shut up!
Go away!
AI, get out!
It won't stop!
How does your car have AI? This is an older car.
No, because it's coming through the phone.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, so that's a good... I would recommend that YouTube channel. He's very funny.
Throaty Mumbo.
And then, you recently saw the Champ games, didn't you? You were enamored by those games, even though I've showed you them years.
Yes, some of them, but I came across a video on YouTube. It was, so back in the day, in the early 1980s, Sega made a version of its arcade game, Zaxxon, for the Atari 2600. Just like a lot of companies ported those current arcade games.
They made it for every system.
Yeah. So Zaxxon. And it was not...
Not good.
Not good, but the game itself was okay. But it had no resemblance to the arcade game Zaxxon. They completely changed the angle, the view, everything. It had no resemblance, right? So now, because the arcade game, it scrolled in that diagonal...
Just a truck hitting a bunch of bumps.
As we rear-end a Porsche here.
The beeping didn't go off.
AI failed us. So anyway, yeah, so it was a very advanced arcade game. Couldn't be done on the Atari 2600. So I came across, it couldn't be done properly on an Atari 2600. So recently I came across a video where someone, because there's people making these homebrew Atari 2600 games all the time and pushing the envelope and accomplishing things that the developers back then weren't able to accomplish. So I saw this new home version of Zaxxon on the Atari 2600, and it was like this looks like the arcade. This is how are they doing it? And I showed you, and you explained to me they're cheating.
Well, oh, that's cheating, but
they have helper hardware. They have additional hardware.
Yeah,
in the cartridge.
I think it's the RAM. I think that they put RAM on the boards. You know, I'm sure it's a bigger ROM size, but you know, like I said, everybody is using a bigger ROM size now. But yeah, I do think that they use at least additional RAM. They might use other hardware, like for sound or music. I'm not sure. I forget.
And they also had a version of the Sega arcade game Turbo.
Yeah.
On the this Champ Games company, this homebrew company. But one of the things that, one of the techniques they do to make these ports look as impressive as they're looking on the 2600 is the whole background is flickering. You notice that?
Not really.
Yeah, it's like this flickering, it's something with the graphics that they have to do. They have to make it flicker to get all of the detail on the screen at the resolution.
Huh. Well, again, it's about tricking the scan line and, you know, like say the CRT TV. The one annoyance with their stuff is that the last couple of years, the games that they've been doing now, the hardware in it is beyond even like... So I have one of those Harmony carts. I actually have a more advanced one, it's the Encore. But that's a flash cart, multi-cart. And I don't even think that those games will run on that anymore. So it's kind of annoying. It's like, oh, man, well, like, what are you doing? But, I just wish that they would do Pole Position. That's what I've been begging these people to do. Somebody do it.
Well, there was a Pole Position.
It's terrible.
No.
That was 2600?
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah, but these guys could do a much better job. They get much closer to the arcade. And it's like, well, now there's so much programming going on the for the 7800. Especially after the Atari released the 7800 Plus. You know, people have been working on that. And I'm just like, what? Nobody wants to do like a decent Pole Position 2? Nobody?
Well, they already have Pole Position.
It's awful. Oh,
no, it isn't.
On the 7800?
It's good.
It's terrible.
What's terrible about
it? Dude, the cars, like the control of the car stinks. The graphics on the cars are terrible. The sound is 2600 sound.
Well, the sound, right, you can't do anything about
it
that.
It stinks.
I thought they did a good job.
Stinks.
Considering it was 1984.
Could have done better. Years later.
Right, what else?
Let's see here. Crash.
Anything?
Yeah, wait a minute. Oh, so another convention coming up, the PaizonCon.
Paizon who?
Paizon.
Who are the Paizon?
Paizon. They've had this convention before, but I showed you this. Notably, they hopefully shows up in September. The guy that, you guessed it, Frank Stallone!
Yeah, he's going to show up?
Supposedly. He's booked.
Frank Stallone?
Yeah.
He's dead!
He isn't.
What?
What are you talking about?
I thought he died.
No. Frank Stallone?
Didn't he die?
No. Okay. This man is not dead.
Who am I thinking of?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% positive. I follow him on like Instagram.
Okay. All right. I pulled a Gary Kitchen. Why did I think he died? All right. So you're going to meet Frank still? Have him sign a photo of Norm MacDonald.
No, I would want him to sign the photo that Norm MacDonald that's used yeah, and the credit, that headshot.
Yes.
That infamous headshot.
So what on earth is Frank Stallone actually famous for?
Yeah, he's a musician, wasn't he?
But a famous musician?
No, not famous. Did some stuff.
Okay. So who else is at this Paizano?
I mean,
convention?
It's basically it's the same people every year. It's all the bit part people and from The Sopranos and The Godfather and you know blah blah blah, and Goodfellas.
Ray Liotta.
No, that would be a little difficult since he's dead.
Are you sure about that?
No, he's definitely. Oh, and then another celebrity, our good friend Ed Begley Jr.
Yes.
By the way,
Mr. Green.
I did not know. Last time I saw Ed, I saw him at Chiller, and then I saw him in New York City. Yeah, he seemed off to me. And then I realized apparently he announced a couple of years ago he has Parkinson's.
Oh, no.
So, but listen, he's still acting. He's currently doing a play with his daughter out in California.
Ed Begley III.
No. So Ed Begley, it just happened. I don't know, it came up in my feed. It was an interview he just did where, you know, somebody asked him about meeting John Lennon and Yoko Ono, who I guess he said he met a few times. And... yeah, he was, well, so Ed apparently was friends with Harry Nilsson and his wife. And so he's like, I was friends with Harry Nilsson, and we took a ride up to, and he said, we're going to go, no, he goes, we're going to have dinner. I'm going to have some friends with dinner. And he's like, okay. And then we're driving up, and we're pulling up to Dakota, and I just thought to myself, well, it can't be, can it? Those friends? So it was John Lennon, and John Lennon knew him from...
Oh, Mary Hartman.
Mary Hartman, he said. So and weird. Begley's impersonation of John Lennon. Matty Hushman, Matty Hushman. So he got to hang out with John Lennon. Ed Begley.
He's been in everything.
He's in everything. So I thought to myself, I wonder if during the point of that conversation, because this, I don't know when this was. When do you think that was? Late 70s?
Yeah, late 70s.
Did he already have the Lectra car?
Oh.
I bet you he did.
He must have, yeah.
And I bet you he pestered John Lennon about the Lectra.
Absolutely.
John, you've got to get the Lectra car. The Lectra car. It's the greatest invention ever. Electric car. I had the first one off the. Did he? Something like that. Something. He used to say, first one off the assembly line.
Are you recycling those newspapers?
old Ed Begley. And then celebrity deaths.
Who, by the way, Ed Begley, go back through our episode. Yeah. We have interviewed him multiple times.
Yeah, it's true.
We love Ed Begley, Jimmy.
He was the first celebrity that came on the show, wasn't he? Or was it Ted Danson, technically?
At the same time.
Same weekend.
Yeah.
Ed Begley. I remember at the time we were like, well, listen, we interviewed Ted Danson because it's Ted Danson, but we were like, I don't think this is going to happen. But, you know, in the back of our mind, because we've been making fun of him also, that was kind of the point.
Well, blackface.
Wouldn't he? But like,
yeah, well, I talked, so I did the little interview with Ted Danson, but it was about fish.
Right.
It wasn't about Cheers. It wasn't about.
Oceana was his charity, whatever thing.
It's like, hey, Ted, during the talk you just gave a few minutes ago, you said that the salmon it has a lot of, no, not the salmon, the tuna. It was the tuna. And I was like, I'm sorry. I got my fish mixed up. I'm sorry.
I remember it being very contentious. It was a very contentious.
No, he was nice. All he was.
Because I was like being, I was like off to the side trying to take like a video of it on my even older piece of garbage phone. And I just remember him like kept pointing at you.
Yeah.
It's like, dang, man.
No, he was very nice. And in fact, we saw him again a couple of years later.
Yeah. The book signing.
Oh, God. The potholes. At the book signing, and he remembered us.
I think he was lying.
He said he remembered us.
The
Paunch Boys.
No, he didn't say that.
He said it's the Paunch Boys.
But the funny thing about Ed Begley was, we kind of knew who he was, but, like, we didn't know him.
Not really.
We never talked about him, and then he just became, like, a great guest. Was always happy to speak.
Yeah.
Celebrity deaths. I guess the big one for me was Sam Neill.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Neill played, of course, Alan Grant in the Jurassic Park.
Brother of Vince Neill.
No.
Of Motley Crue.
No relation. Sam Neill also was in Hunt for Red October.
Would have liked to have seen Montana.
He was, he lived in New Zealand. That's where he was from.
He's a Kiwi.
Yeah, I guess so. And, Jurassic Park and, what else did he do? Event Horizon.
He was an actor.
Yes, obviously.
Right.
And I it brought back the memories of, seeing Jurassic Park when I was a kid. And then on Instagram, I posted about, I was so infatuated with Jurassic Park when it came out.
Yes.
So we went to Orlando that year, in fact. And we went to Universal Studios. And so, they had this exhibit where you walked in there, and I don't know if they were the real props or what the deal was, but it was, it was a lot of Jurassic Park stuff going on. So I was like really in my element there, And then also, I went on Back to the Future, the ride, I was a huge Back to the Future fan and et cetera. And I had no pictures. Maybe I can't remember if I took pictures of the Jurassic Park stuff or not. I couldn't find them. They're somewhere buried. So I went on YouTube, and I was actually shocked at how many people have been, over the years, have taken their old VHS camcorder videos of going to places like Disneyland or Universal Studios with the family. Like, the father has the camcorder, takes the video, and they put them on YouTube.
Well, that's good, right?
So I found videos from, like, literally, like, the weekend that I was there and watched it.
Well, from other people.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the video.
No, I'm saying you didn't find them in your closet that digitized your own video.
So there was a couple that were really good. So I did a little AI with them to make it look like I had taken the picture. Because I didn't. I swear that I took some pictures. I don't know what I did with them. But anyway, you know, the cameras that I used back then, they were like out of a Kellogg cereal box. They didn't have a flash. The pictures all
were terrible. Yeah.
So that's Sam Neill. I don't know if we have talked about that episode. Catherine O'Hara died earlier this year.
Yes.
Catherine!
There you go.
From Second City.
Yes.
Of course. That was unfortunate. And also a couple of Revenge of the Nerds kicked the bucket. Ogre, Donald
really?
Gibb, yeah, he died.
From what?
He was from Kickboxer, wasn't he?
No, I'm saying Bloodsport, but...
I don't know. I think they were saying, like, he just was in failing health and...
Okay.
Whatever, I don't know. And then, unfortunately, Robert Carradine, who was the, you know, Lewis Skolnick, killed himself.
Ouch. Brother of David Carradine.
And Keith Carradine. From Flipper.
What?
The movie. Or Free Willy. One of those. Flipper, the TV show, maybe. So that was unfortunate.
So who's still alive now? We got...
the nerds?
The...
the women.
No, the guys. No, the nerds.
Oh, well, Gilbert was... what's his name? Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
You know, the Wormser guy is still alive. Lamar. You know, Brian Tochi was the Tashi. The Japanese guy.
Who was the short guy?
The booger guy is still alive.
What's his name again?
Curtis Armstrong.
All right, so some of them are still around.
Most of them. And then also, did we talk about Chuck Norris croaking?
No.
Oh, we did.
No.
Back in, I guess not. Chuck Norris died.
Maybe we did. Chuck Norris facts.
Yeah, I think we did.
Well, still. Chuck Norris,
great Chuck Norris.
Trying to think of a joke that I can't think of any.
Well, you know, it's like the tree was going to fall over from the tornado, but Chuck Norris, you know, kicked it away.
I don't care.
Stupid Chuck Norris. Also, Robert Duvall.
Father of Shelley Duvall.
No relation.
Clea Duvall.
I don't even have kids. Bob Duvall from The Godfather and Apocalypse Now and The Apostle. And, of course, Days of Thunder.
Help me help you.
Now, when you go back out there, I want you to hit the pace car.
Help me.
What? Say hit the pace car?
Hit like, the pace car?
Yeah, hit the pace car. Say, what's for?
What for?
Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
My Tom Cruise is morphing into
Michael J. Fox.
Doc, is it hot?
David Spade over here.
Is it hot, Doc? Einstein. All right, what else? Celebrity death.
And James Tolkien.
Oh, Lord of the Rings.
James Tolkien. No.
J.R. No?
No. James Tolkien. We met him from Top Gun.
What? Top Gun?
The old guy from the Back to the Future. There was a principal.
Yeah.
Slacker.
That's not Top
You're
Gun.
You're a slacker. Well, he was in Top Gun.
Oh. Was he the Top Gun?
No, he was the admiral, whatever, the captain of the ship. Your ego's writing checks your body can't cash.
Oh, that guy.
Also from Masters of the Universe.
Oh, no. Which one?
The movie.
The old one?
Yeah, the 87 one.
Oh, man. He died? He was nice. We met him. He was nice.
He was in his 90s. Yeah, he was in one of the early chillers that we went to. We recorded him calling me a slacker.
Yes.
He goes, Greg, you're a slacker. Right. And he kept messing the line up and laughing. I gotta do it again. Slacker.
Take two.
And then the picture I took with him is, he's actually not even looking at the camera. He's looking at me, giving the finger. Yes. The finger, like, slacker.
Classic picture.
It's the only way. Get a picture of James Tolkien. The only way. You got anything? Nothing?
Nah, well.
No observations of.
I was going to do a movie review, but I don't feel like it. You want me to do it real quick?
I don't know. What is it?
A quick one? All right.
Hope it's not the Grogu movie. Ugh.
The what?
The Star Wars Grogu movie?
The heck? What is Grogu?
Yeah, it's just a Mandalorian.
No. Despicable Me Part 3.
Oh, dear.
No. I saw this movie. It came out 2 years ago, 2024. I saw it on Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's an animated movie, CGI. It's called Flow. Okay. You ever hear of it?
Not really.
It was just on a whim. Like, I don't know. Whatever. I'll watch this. Whatever. So, it ended up being very, very beautiful. It was very, it wasn't the typical Pixar style, Minion style, CGI. I mean, it wasn't like that. It wasn't a children's movie. But it was animation, but it was about these animals. And the whole thing is very vague on purpose.
Yeah.
So there's this cat. He's like walking around the house, and then in the far, they live in this rural area. There's no people, just animals.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this flood, like just this flash flood, and it floods the whole world. And the animals have to figure out how to survive. But it's like realism, though. It's not like Garfield, like cartoony animals. It's like they don't talk or anything. They just have to figure out how to find food and find land and shelters. I can't explain it, but it was very, very well done, very beautifully done. It wasn't long either. It was like an hour and 25 minutes. But
so nobody talks.
No, they didn't need to. It was just the animals interacting with each other in the wild, surviving this flood. Anyway, it was called Flow. It was great. It was fantastic. So watch them.
Lovely.
That's it.
All right.
Until next time.
Yeah, whatever that is.